This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
It's 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. My name's Jacob.
Well, I must be Mercedes then. And we're on community radio 3CR with Friday Rave. Yes, that's right. Happy May Day, friends and other listeners. This is Jacob in the studio, regardless of what that intro just said. I'm actually Jacob, not Mercedes. And Mercedes isn't with us today due to circumstances beyond either of our controls. She's had to not be here today, but that's all right, because I'll just wing it like I have done before she came on board. Excuse me, you've been listening to the May Day special programming on 3CR today. Maybe you have, maybe you listen to this podcast, maybe you turn on the car radio at 5 o'clock, I don't know, whoever you're listening. But we've done a whole lot of programs about May Day today. Robbie's program was about May Day. I think James just did a May Day show before me. And Mercedes and I were going to do a May Day show, and I will do a May Day show. But maybe a slightly different May Day show, because I was thinking, you know, I was remembering ex-Prime Minister Paul Keating back in the early 2000s, around about May Day, it might have been Labor Day actually, given some speech or other over at the Victorian Trades Hall where I was working at the time. And he said something along the lines of the Trades Hall being a monument and a museum to working people's struggles. The crowd erupted. I was mortified. We don't need another bloody museum. We want a lively, spirited, organising centre. We're not dinosaurs. To say that we're a museum was just an insult in my mind. At the time, we were organising all the anti-Gulf War protests and campaigns out of the Trades Hall. And it was called a museum. And I was just thinking about that, sitting in the courtyard here at the studios of 3CR on Smith Street in beautiful downtown Fitzroy. And I thought, I'm going to go off script today. I'm not going to do my usual Ray Day yarn about how May Day is a great day for the working people's struggles and all the rest of it. Glorious May Days of the past. And that's not to minimalise the importance of remembering them. I always say the only way you're going to know where you're going is by looking back at where you've been. But I want to more think of, what does that actually mean to us today? Because the way we treat May Day often is, in the Keating next sense, as somewhat of a historical oddity, a bit of a thing to hang our hats on, pat ourselves on the back, talk about, you know, there's power in the union and all this kind of shit. I'm not going to talk about glorious May Days of the past. I want to ask the question, what does it mean to us today? How does it affect the things we do today? How does it affect the principles of the campaigns we're always talking about, the issues we're always talking about on a Friday rave? Because in some ways, well, probably in every way, every Friday rave is a May Day special. Every Friday rave, every, what's the word, issue we talk about, whether it's, you know, solid fuel rocket motors, whether it's the Australian mercenaries in organising wars in Yemen, whether it's about our support of Israel or Ukraine, whatever we're talking about, whether we're talking about things at home, whether we're talking about blackfella sovereignty, whether we're talking about digging up uranium mining here, whether we're talking about rocket launches off Cookada country in South Australia. It all comes back to May Day. Because when you think about the roots and the history of May Day and drill down into what the old workers called for 150 odd years ago, what they called for was about having the right to have a say in how we lived. It's well accepted that the May Day movement began in the US after worker protests were broken up by police and state agents. It also well known that the Second International made the decision to commemorate May Day as a day for workers and, chose the date to commemorate the workers in the Chicago and the Milwaukee protests. But they chose those dates because of the 8-hour day here in Melbourne, because we won the first 8-hour day in Melbourne. You've heard from other 3CR shows today. This is where it all started, people. So let's look back at the start of that campaign for an 8-hour day. 8 hours work, 8 hours rest, and 8 hours recreation. You've all heard it before. You can see a recreation of the banner at the Trades Hall. 8 hours rest, 8 hours work, 8 hours recreation. But that wasn't the original call. The original call wasn't for work, rest and recreation. It was 8 hours work, 8 hours rest, and 8 hours to do what we wilt. In other words, a call for dignity, a call for control, a call for sovereignty, a line in the sand. It is up to us to say what we will do. We will work these hours and not more. And in our time off, we'll do whatever the hell we like, and it's got nothing to do with you. It wasn't just a call to amend their immediate material conditions. I mean, sure, working hard, working 10-hour days, it was a slog, it was bad, and they needed to change. Everybody accepts that. But that's not what it was about. I mean, it wasn't just, amending this, amending that, give us more money, less hours. It was about drawing a line in the bloody sand, one that fundamentally challenged the prevailing concept of who had the right to determine some of the most basic parameters of their own lives. 8 hours to do with what we bloody well wilt. Now, you've got to remember, a lot of these people, the stonemasons, everything, who are working here, they come over here because they'd had enough of the monarchic situation in England. A lot of them were imprisoned after the Newport rebellions. They were Charterists. They were anti-imperialists. And they come out to Australia, not just like the folk songs that have, to try to get rich. They came out here to try to build a new world. And as I say, the call was a challenge to the prevailing concept of, as I think Leonard Cohen put it some years ago, to determine who will serve and who will eat. And that challenge initially, at least, bore results. It led to the fledgling Commonwealth of Australia introducing workplace laws that were predicated on dignity. Now, I'm not saying that the fledgling colony of Australia was a great thing. Obviously, they also introduced the bloody White Australia policy, which kept people like me out, which didn't pay any credence to our own blackfellas. So I'm not saying it was a good thing, but I'm saying that even a nation, a sub-imperial power like that, like us, Australia, predicated workplace laws on dignity. You know, what was his name? Justice Higgins in the Harvester decision. I haven't got it up in front of me, so it's not going to be a distinct quote. But since Higgins, I think it was in 1905 maybe, said, come out with this statement that a worker, regardless of your station in life, his wage should be enough to have a wife and raise a family in civilized comfort. That was the term he used, civilized comfort. And because of the May Day movement, the 8-hour day movement, it introduced all these things into Australian law. And the most important of it amongst it was the bit that was never said. We will have a say in how our working lives are treated, in what we will do with our time, when we'll work, when we won't work, and what we'll do when we're not working. And this was the basis of Australia's industrial relations law until Howard abolished it in the early 2000s. But anyway, that's another thing. Where we are, where we're up to today. The dignity of the working people. Where is this dignity? I mean, I've got to say, the dignity of an apartheid system of employment that enables some of us, myself included, to work with decent wages and conditions so that we can get an Uber home and expect some poor foreign student will deliver our dinner for a dollar. So let's have a look at some of the things happening today, hopefully, with a bit of a May Day perspective. But the May Day perspective being that of having our own, what's the word, our own say in what happens.
What's taking place in Palestine is horrendous.
Here are some ways that you can keep yourself informed and involved.
Listen in to Palestine Remembered every Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. or listen to the podcast.
Join the APAN mailing list at apan.org.au for updates, news about actions you can get involved in, and where you can donate to provide humanitarian assistance.
Listen to other news and current affairs programs on 3CR that also cover Palestine.
The oppression of the Palestinian people has been going on for 75 years. It has to stop. You can be part of making that happen by staying informed and active.
APAN is a proud supporter of 3CR.
You're listening to 3CR, an apartheid-free zone. 3CR's Committee of Management has passed a declaration formalising our commitment to a free Palestine. As an apartheid-free zone, we're committed to boycotting Israel's regime of oppression. We stand firmly against apartheid in Palestine and encourage other organisations to join us in this struggle. Visit our website to read the full declaration and learn more about our commitment to justice and liberation for Palestine and the apartheid-free zone movement.
Oh, welcome back to Community Radio 3CR. Sorry, folks, I just had a bit of a coughing fit, to be honest, and didn't want to subject you to that. But we're at 3CR 855 on your old school AM dial through 3CR Digital via all the W's on 3cr.org.au, or maybe through your favourite podcast client or your surveillance chopper in the sky. But I just played that one, particularly in the last one, because it talked about us being an anti-apartheid zone. And we all recognise, of course, the apartheid system that's in place in the state of Israel. But we often don't recognise the apartheid system we have here in Australia. It's an apartheid employment system. It's not official, but look around you. When was the last time... anyone who wants to argue with me can come and argue with me at the May Day rally from 1 o'clock or 12 o'clock at Trades Hall on Lygon Street in Carlton. But the things I wanted to talk about today, the Royal Commission into the interim report of the Royal Commission on Anti-Semitism and Social Cohesion. Remember, the Royal Commission was announced on 9th of January this year in the wake of the Bondi massacre on December the 14th, 26 days earlier. Within 4 months, we have a tabled report, a report that our Prime Minister has said in his press release. Well, I'm going to quote you. I'm going to bring it up and quote you exactly what he said in his press release here. He said, the government thanks her team established in the wake of the anti-Semitic attacks, accepts all recommendations that relate to the Commonwealth and is committed to working with the states and territories to adopt a national approach to implement all 14 recommendations. Now, of those 14 recommendations, a few of them, I think five, are classified. And our great Prime Minister, the Prime Minister who campaigned on the issue of transparency, has said that the interim report contains a small number of classified recommendations, a third of them, and they'd be the five big ones, which cannot be publicly released because they could compromise sensitive national security information. Trust Daddy. The government will respond swiftly to these recommendations, and Australians will see practical outcomes through a range of policy, program and funding measures. So he's saying, you're not allowed to know what they are because you're a security risk, but you will find out in due course by a range of policy, program and funding measures. Doesn't that sound strange to you? How does that go with the concept of sovereignty? And we already have state premiers, particularly in Queensland and New South Wales, enacting restrictive laws for the purpose of criminalising any criticism of Israel. Now, there have been a couple of articles on Michael West Media by a bloke, let me just get that page up, Andrew Brown, this week, explaining the mechanisms by which a foreign government has taken control of the Australian government. And I urge you all to read them. You can go to Michael West Media at, strangely enough, michaelwest.com.au, and you'll find it there, a couple of articles. I won't tell you the exact page because it'll do yourselves a treat to have a look around the pages and you might find something that you hadn't meant to find. But it's by a bloke by the name of Andrew Brown. And how does this relate, I've got to say, to May Day? And that again, because, as I say, it's about sovereignty. Because in a total reversal of the original May Day demands, the moves of this federal government and state governments are about not controlling our own actions, but legislating for our actions to be subjugated to the interests of a foreign government that is currently committing genocide in Palestine. A foreign government that has co-sponsored a wider war in West Asia that is not only killing people, but affecting economies all over the world and risks spiralling out of control. Now, don't be surprised, you know, that I mentioned the economy, that it's affecting economies all over the world. It's not that I want to keep getting cheaper fuel, but in this advanced capitalist economy, it's always the poor that are going to bear the brunt of it, like the Uber Eats drivers in this country, like the service workers. It's always the economy. Who was it? Who's that famous quote? It's the economy, stupid. Every issue we raise on a Friday rave has to do with the economy. One of the things I've been carping on a rave for years is the tendency of the Australian left, us, When I say the Australian left, I say us, not them. Our failure to relate to myriad issues we're all fighting to the basic economic principle, and it's gathering as much of the world's wealth as possible into fewer and fewer hands or bank accounts. Because that's what our support, just to stay on Israel for a moment, that's what our support of the state of Israel is about. It's nothing to do with Semitism or anti-Semitism or Islam or a religion of any kind. It's about one of the centres of global capital keeping control of the resources and transport routes of a very resource-rich part of the planet and making sure no one else has access to them. Sure, Netanyahu and Smotrich and the rest of them might well be homicidal fucktards. They may well have a pathological hatred for Palestinians and dreams of a greater Israel. But don't be misled. Don't be mistaken for one single second. If this did not work, if their actions did not work in the interests of global capital, they would be arseholed to the dustbin of history in no time flat. Because that's what we're seeing. What we're seeing is a blue between various centres of capital. And one of them is a US-led Western alliance that includes Israel and Australia and is starting to lose control. And it's needing to reassert its dominance in an increasingly multipolar world. And it's doing everything it can. Just look, you know, what's happening there right now. And the overarching takeaway is that they're losing control. They're losing the war, but they're not just losing the war. The people are losing the war. I say losing the war. I said that fairly offhandedly. No, they're not. Iran still, I believe, has the upper hand. But losing the war implies winning the war. And we all know that there are no winners in war. The people of Iran are losing the war. The people in the United States, through economic measures, through losing loved ones, through facing a system of repression in the United States that's hell-bent, and I say hell-bent, advisedly, on maintaining, what's the word, a lid on dissent. The poor people are the ones who are suffering, and of course the poor people in Iran and Lebanon and Gaza and the West Bank and Somalia and Sudan and Uganda and the Congo and Mali and Tunisia and Chad. Where do we stop? They are all suffering because they are all being subjugated in this quest. Oh, Zambia is the latest one. In this quest for resources and money to continue building weapons to kill people with. You know, Trump has just said, where are we? Trump has just said to Zambia that he's going to cut all their AIDS funding unless they sign over their critical minerals. The US is fomenting all these wars all the way through the Sahel. Mali's defence minister has been assassinated. Bamako is under siege. The UAE and Saudi Arabia continue to foment war in East Africa and smuggle gold from the killing fields. They're smuggling gold from the poorest people in the world, sending it back to Saudi and primarily the UAE, where they're buying weapons to assist in the war on Gaza and the war on Iran. And they're standing there in their white clothes thinking, it's not us. Everybody knows it is. But this is what's happening. Everybody the world over. And it's not just UAE. Israel's doing the same, except not mainly with gold, but diamonds. Yep, creating and sponsoring warring parties around the DRC, and trading guns for uncut diamonds with their associates in Uganda, in Rwanda. They're now going to build a new base in Somalia to continue attacks on Yemen. This is happening all over the world. Okay, now, but I want to stay into Australia. I said to stay into Australia a couple of minutes. I got left. Where are we? What am I going to talk about? Jazz Money. Jazz Money just had her children's book called Billa, pulped by the University of Queensland Press last month because the author's collaborator, Matt Chun, made some public anti-Israel comments that had nothing to do with the book, Billa. So we've now, whether we accept it or not, we now have a situation of only publishing artists that have never offended Israel because Matt Chun never made the comments in relation to this book, Billa. He made it in a totally different forum that had nothing to do with the book, and he's been cancelled because he doesn't live up to the University of Queensland Press's International Holocaust Remembrance Association definition of anti-Semitism. So that's it. An Indigenous author writing a story about the river going down to the sea for Indigenous kids and non-Indigenous kids to learn about the history and the ecology of the river. Maybe that's what it's about. Maybe because it was a river to the sea sort of story. Who knows? But we also have I'm not advocating for a weapons manufacturing-based industry, of course, but the Australian government, who's been carping on jobs for Australian workers for years. And this is, you know, this is a Mayday thing. Jobs for Australian workers, jobs for workers, well-paid jobs for workers. They've carped on about these jobs being behind the drive to build new missile factories. We've built three, or announced three, in the last 12 months. And not only announced them, not only supported them, but sinking money into them. So this government, this federal government, well, they announced last week that it's going to spend $2 billion into buying missiles from the United States. And then a day later, they've made the announcement of new grants to multinational arms companies like Northrop Grumman to help build solid rocket motors for missiles for Australia. But what can you do? It's not about jobs. It's about selling out Australian industry by sending more cash overseas to buy the same shit we're making here. Christ, even the United States are buying our missiles because they're running out. And I'm not advocating a weapons-based economy, but just saying, even from their own statements, their own perspective, their own criteria, they don't make sense. Meanwhile, money that, if Australian workers had the ability to build what we wilt, would be spent on schools and hospital and housing and environmentally friendly equipment, is just being passed around. That money is just being passed around between warmongering capitalist flogs to create the constant flow of money that's needed, because the flow of money is needed to make money real. And while no one wants their money to be used in a war to kill people with, or maybe a few arseholes do, the bottom line is, in a capitalist economy, that kind of money, that kind of misuse gives a better rate of return than building houses for poor people. That's where we are this May Day, people. Happy May Day. See you on Sunday. I'm going to leave you now with Slacker Radio.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.